Hello everyone and welcome to this week's episode of Beyond Borders, your podcast for lively discussion and current topics. I'm Danny and as always I'm joined by my two amazing co-hosts Pearl and Lily.
This week we are diving into Australia Day, a date that sparks both celebration and controversy.
And among the many messages we received, two key questions stood out from our listeners. So stay with us as we explore different perspectives and try to answer the two questions about this day. All right, so to kick things off, we got a question from one of our listeners asking us, why would there be tensions between Australians when Australia Day is supposed to be the national day?
So let's start by saying very quickly that the Australia First population is named as the indigenous community who arrived at least 6,500 years ago, marking one of the oldest world cultures. For a long time, they lived in harmony, possessing deep environmental knowledge. They learned how to create an organization with customs, laws, relationship with the land. Indeed, their culture is quite rich, painting as the Dot One, music and dance during ceremonies, for example, the didgeridoo, which is an iconic instrument. And before colonization, there were over 2,050 Aboriginal languages. There were, however, a multitude of different groups in this community, such as the Yolngu in Northern Australia.
Speaking of colonization, it all started when Captain James Cook discovered Australia in 1770. The first English settlement was in 1788. The settlers began to impose their lifestyle, especially on children. The most famous example is the Stolen Generation. It refers to the 35,000 Aboriginal people who were removed from their families between 1905 and the late 60s. The settlers forced their religion and education on them. They wanted to bring civilization. All this violence and suffering is the reason why today Aboriginal people called this day Invasion Day instead of Australia Day.
So, as Lily said, the many impacts of colonization are still felt, creating an intergenerational trauma where the pain and injustices of the past continue to affect families today. For example, this year on January 26, tens of thousands participated in Invasion Day protests across major cities, advocating for indigenous rights and calling for a change of the date. And to give you some numbers, in Sydney, around 15,000 people gathered, while Melbourne saw around 25,000 attendees. And these protests highlight the ongoing struggles for recognition and justice, showing that for many, Australia Day remains a symbol of pain and suffering.
So that's it for our first question. Now we have a more political one. This time, it's how do different political parties view Australia Day?
So, when it comes to the local parties, such as Australian Labour Party or ALP for short, it's clear that they recognise the meaning of January 26, but they also acknowledge the impact of on Indigenous Australians. And while they're not pushing to change the date, the Prime Minister Albanese government tried to focus on reconciliation, Indigenous rights and truth-telling. So the overall stance is to keep January 26 as Australian Day while encouraging open and respectful conversations about its history.
On the opposite, the Liberal Nation Coalition, led by Peter Dutton, strongly supports retaining Australia Day on January 26, arguing it's a celebration of Australia history and unity. Dutton opposes any change, arguing the day should be a national pride rather than division. He criticized the councils and organizations that refused to hold citizenship ceremonies that day. Pauline Hanson, who is actually leading One Nation Party, was more outspoken, calling effort to change a date nonsense and insisting Australia should embrace their country's history rather than apologize for it. She believes changing the day would damage national identity.
So you two talked about Australian political parties, but I'm going to speak about Australia's king. King Charles III hasn't publicly expressed a specific stance on Australia Day. However, during his visit to Australia in October 2024, he expressed his respect towards Australian cultures and communities. He also acknowledged the challenges for reconciliation and encouraged reflection on their shared history. But he also emphasized the fact that we have to understand and acknowledge all Aboriginal people and what they have been through during the past centuries. During his official visits, he always expresses his wish to understand their past and worries better. Maybe one day he will share his opinion on Australia Day, but we will have to wait for it a little longer.
Okay, so now that we answered those questions, let's give our opinion about the National Day. So let's start with you.
Well, personally, I think it is a very difficult situation. However, I think that changing the date of Australia Day would be more respectful for Aboriginal people. Yes, it would be strange to change it after years of celebration on this day, but I think we can agree on the fact that it divides more than it unites, while National Day should be a celebration for everyone.
Well, Lily, I completely agree with you. While I think it's important to celebrate Australia's achievements, a National Day should unite and not divide. And in my view, changing the date wouldn't erase history. On the contrary, it would acknowledge it and create a more inclusive celebration. Moreover, there are plenty of other dates that could represent all Australians, and keeping it on January 26 continues to ignore the deep pain it causes.
As you both said really well, as we know, Australia Day on January 26 means something different to everyone. For many, it's a day to celebrate nation, but for Aboriginal Australians, it marks the beginning of a painful history. For those who see this day as a lost one, keeping it may feel unfair. Changes can help bring people together and make a day everyone can celebrate. So honoring history while choosing a more inclusive day would be really respectful and help to build a strong and united nation.
Well, this is the end of our weekly podcast. So thank you guys for being with me as always. And thanks to our listeners for your questions.
We're eager to present you the next week's subject, where will we be wondering about a potential new Cold War.
So see you guys next week in Beyond Borders. And don't forget to send us your questions and, of course, to follow us.